Alrighty, it's Truth About Markets New Zealand with Max and Stacy for the next 30 minutes, Stacy. Oh, Stacy, I noticed on Friday morning there was this incredible dollar spike on the dollar index. My God, what is going on?
Yes, this is something we have to talk to you about in New Zealand because we did warn you of this about 3 weeks ago. We did a whole episode about the dollar carry trade, and we said what could possibly happen. The big danger with it was an unwinding of the carry trade, and we said, you know, you would see 10%, perhaps 20% moves. We said 20% moves in the course of a week or two, but we saw 9% move in the matter of minutes on Friday.
Yep, that's right. And my thought, and this should be of particular interest to this part of the world, is that it's basically a back-end way to try to get that price of gold down. And there's a lot of short positions on the COMEX in New York, the London Metals Exchange, other exchanges around the world. There's a lot of short positions, and I think the shorts are getting squeezed. And even at this late stage of the game, even with the American economy now having basically gone into receivership, the capitalist model having failed, and U.S. empire crumbled and U.S. power waning, it's still easier to manipulate the U.S. dollar on Wall Street than it is to manipulate the gold price. And this is why you see this action in the Forex market, because you've got the ability in that $3 trillion per day Forex market to put on these algorithmic trades on various exchanges that will goose the price one way or another. And I just think, and I said this earlier, that what we saw Friday was an example of just too much TNT in the improvised exploding currency device at the curbside of the Forex there that caused a unnatural spike to the point where the regulators had to come in and bust those trades. And I guess the hope was that the sell-off in the gold market that resulted in the gold price spike would trigger a lot of stop orders, and you'd see that gold price tumble 100 or 200 or 300 points or something like this, I guess they were hoping on, to try to derail the gold bull market. Because if gold keeps going up, the central bank, the world's banking establishment is in trouble, because if we're going to dismantle the fractional reserve fiat currency system, that means that most of the wealth built up over the past 25 to 50 years is going to be demolished.
That's right. And we also were talking last year about the billionaire versus millionaire wars. And now we're seeing the trillionaires versus billionaire wars. We're seeing ruptures within governments, the people's anger rising up, and it's affecting what some politicians who are for re-election are having to go at war against, like the Federal Reserve or the Treasury. I know here in New Zealand, the government and the Treasury are also at war. So, you know, you're starting to see the whole global financial, last year the financial system fell apart. This year, you're seeing actual market exchanges starting to fall apart and political systems falling apart. Yeah. So that's the next trend to look at over the next 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So with the exchanges falling apart, you're going to see, you know, that's part of the currency exchanges, the Forex market, the foreign exchange market. So you're going to see, with the move in the dollar of 9%, you know, what happened? You didn't actually see it really happen, because basically the International Currency Exchange in London just nullified the trades of anything over 76 on the dollar index was just nullified. You know, the dollar went up to, I think, 79 on the dollar index.
Mm-hmm.
And they just decide to delete those profits or anybody who sold or bought during that time. They just deleted all these 14,000 contracts.
Yeah, well, I think this is a setup for some more dollar weakness. It's like you throw a jab out there, but you leave yourself open to a big punch. And the jab of trying to manipulate dollar higher, failed manipulation, wasn't well coordinated. Usually they coordinate these manipulations a little bit better. I guess they didn't get the cooperation, probably because banks in China are just not cooperating to manipulate the Forex market like they used to, because they're big buyers of gold, and India's a big buyer of gold, and people are rooting for gold. And so this is setting, I think, this is setting the situation up for further dollar weakness, because if the path of least resistance for the dollar is now probably more on the downside, because it shows that not even a massive 9% coordinated manipulation in the price of the index up on a Friday, on an options expiration day, could trigger a stampede in either way. And it means, it is proven, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, how weak this dollar is bid. And I think next week, my guess is we do this show next week, dollar is at new lows. That's my guess. And gold is at new highs again. That's my guess. You know, I mean, because the gold buyers are sitting on bids. Anything that comes in, they're buying. You know, all the central banks, all the hedge funds now. George Soros is buying gold. You got Paul Tudor Jones buying gold. You've got that guy Robertson. He's been buying gold. He's aggressively buying gold.
You mean Paulson?
Paulson. That's right.
John Paulson. Einhorn is buying gold as well.
So they're just, they got their orders in that below the market. They, you know, buy me, you know, how many ounces or tons beneath at certain price, whether it's a 10.30 or 10.20 or whatever the price is. They're just sitting there waiting for weak hands to let go in any kind of panic situation so they can build on their positions. Because this is a story that's going to be continuing to get stronger now for the next 5 years. And over as it gets to 5,000, 6,000, you see a lot of people publishing that estimate now, $5,000 to $6,000 on the price of gold per ounce. And, you know, typically this is when the estimates are so far above the current price, you could make the case that there's a bit of a reaching going on there in terms of trying to predict the price. But on the other hand, against the backdrop of a crumbling deflationary collapse in the banking sector and a mad rush into something that's not collapsing, it kind of makes sense. So even though it's made a big move, you know, I remember when stocks went over 1,000 on the Dow Jones, people were saying it's too high, and it was on its way to 14,000, you know.
But for people who don't have holdings of gold or dollars, there is a, you know, what does it matter to the average person on the street here in Christchurch? You know, as we warned before, you know, you're going to see these massive volatility, and people who are, say, farmers and they have goods to sell and things are priced in dollars, or international trade, you know, with swings of 10% in a day, it just, this system is just falling off its wheel. How is it possible to have wild swings like this in the world's reserve currency when so much of international trade operates in dollars?
Yeah, well, like I've been saying, it's a period now of what you might call the Bermuda Triangle of finance, where all the gauges and instruments used to determine where the economy is are all spinning wildly in opposite directions, whether it's determining money supply or money speed or credit or budget deficits or national deficits or GDP or the price of oil or the price of food or the price of commodities. All these things are moving in wildly opposite directions as we head into this Bermuda Triangle phase of increased volatility, which of course favors the rich and the ones who are trading on inside information, as most of the top guys are, and those who are able to manipulate markets and position themselves ahead of the manipulation. As Goldman Sachs has now been proven, this is the self-admittedly, this is what they said in open, you know, to the open press. They said our technology can be used to manipulate markets, full stop. And it's clear that that's what they do, and that's their model. And fraud has become the predominant business model for the global banking system. And the volatility should increase pretty wildly. But for the people out there who are not, let's say, too lazy to be fraudsters, and they just want to sit back and get rich, they're buying gold.
Well, with that, we're going to take a music break right now, and we'll be back in just a few seconds right here on RDU 98.5 with Max and Stacy and the Truth About Markets.
Yippee!
All right. We're back from that music break.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it was a good one.
It got me all excited.
By the way, we received several emails from New Zealand from following on last week's show, and people were saying that, in fact, yes, of course, of course, of course, there are U.S. military bases in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
It is a global empire, an occupier of hundreds of nations,
mm-hmm.
and why should New Zealand be any exception to the U.S. military base? The ever-present U.S. military base.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Okinawa, right, in Japan.
That's right. And we were wondering whether or not there were any U.S. military bases here in New Zealand.
Yeah, well, countries around the world are trying to get rid of their marine infestations by whatever means that they possibly can. And I don't know what the situation is in New Zealand, whether they're happy with the U.S. military camped out there, the spying on them. But I guess, like, the global trend is we don't want this type of surveillance in our own home country. So there's probably a lot of people growing anxious about it. And as the dollar collapses and the ability to fund the empire and these outposts of the empire diminishes, then, like, whether it's Starbucks in Israel that decided they couldn't afford to stay there anymore, so they pulled out. McDonald's in Iceland saying we can't afford to be here anymore, so they pulled out. You got the Pentagon in New Zealand saying, look, we can't afford it anymore, we're going to pull out. You know, I read a statistic that was absolutely amazing. The U.S. Pentagon spends $230 million a day on gas.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yep, it's the price of oil times the gallons purchase per day by the U.S. military comes out to $230 million a day they spend on gas.
Well, that puts into context as well all these occupied nations around the world, and there's well over 100 who have military U.S. military bases in their country, that America needs to borrow $3 billion per day, $3 billion a day to finance itself.
Mm-hmm.
So almost 10% of it is going directly to buying gasoline for the U.S. military.
Yep. That's right. And no wonder you got companies like ExxonMobil supporting the military aspirations of the Obama administration.
Oh, of course. Of course they're going to.
Let's see, Warren Buffett just bought into ExxonMobil to go along with his Wells Fargo stock and his Goldman Sachs stock. You know, this guy is really the, he's the Antichrist, isn't he? Because it wasn't the Antichrist, the friendly angel of death that was so friendly, but...
Yeah, but there's lots of friendly angels of death. And so back here to New Zealand, where we have this show, RDU 98.5 right here in Christchurch, New Zealand, we also received an email of somebody warning about this new legislation, apparently, being considered here in New Zealand, which... would, I guess there was competition to have the harshest, most extreme anti-free internet sort of laws. And, you know, New Zealand was one of those that passed along with France at the time of this three strikes, you're out sort of thing last year. Hmm. Now they're considering this new legislation to apparently that the government will have access to your computers.
Mm-hmm.
They could all like they could search your hard drive for any sort of, you know, all sorts of stuff, terrorism, illegal downloads,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. We got to buy more than one computer, and the cost is coming down, and they need a separate hard drives. You need to basically do a lot of work to insulate yourself from a corrupt government. Unfortunately, it just means more work that it could be, the work could be spent being productive in society. I mean, the New Zealand GDP would have a boost if the citizens were doing productive work instead of having to spend hours and hours and a lot of money to defend themselves against a corrupt government. But the government is not in the business of economic efficiency, is it?
And the copyright cartel, which only benefits, for the most part, America. So, like, why allow legislation that just benefits them? And I was thinking of another idea. Is, you know, people are saying how to protect yourself from all these collapse and the intrusion in our lives in order to finance the banks and their theft and the copyright cartels and their theft. And one of the ways to protect yourselves from governments and the Federal Reserve Bank and bankers is to own physical gold. And of course, you know, you can dig a hole in your backyard and put the gold in there, and it's not going to rot and it's not going to rust away and it's not going to disintegrate. So, you know, you could protect yourself there. And I thought maybe one way, you know, if you're going to buy more than one computer, is somebody should devise a survivalist sort of computer that you could just bury in the backyard. And no matter how many, much rain or snow or sleet or sun shines on it, you know, it'll be like gold and survive.
Well, so, they have those wind-up computers that they sell in Africa, right? This is a part of the laptop initiative where they wanted to give every child a laptop. And they, I forget who put this together, but it was an NGO. And they got some companies to contribute some resources, and they came up with this $100 laptop computer that's basically a very basic computer. And so that could be, if you have five or six of those, and you could clone your hard drive on these and bury them around like a squirrel burying nuts, so that and have a backup file somehow, and then I guess you'd need to go into some online storage area and have some encrypted data that you could download onto these various cloned computers that you have buried in your backyard. But, you know, the hackers and the pirates ultimately will win, because history tells us that ultimately hackers and pirates win. The United States is a hacker country when it was thriving and growing. Thus the term Yankee. Yankee is Dutch for pirate. And Yankee, who stole European technology to create the America that became a huge financial force. Pirates and hackers rule the roost. I mean, hackers created the internet. Hackers created Apple Computer. You know, Steve Jobs is one of the original phone freakers. You know, he was just basically a phone hacker. So was Bill Gates and all these other guys who were on the web hacking their way around for years. And then they said, hey, let's make some proprietary software and some proprietary hardware and create companies. And you're not going to get rid of them, just like you're not going to get rid of the sun from coming up over the horizon every day. But, you know, governments will try and they will, of course, fail, as they always do. It's a big waste of time, though.
Well, you mentioned phone freakers. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm imagining that these are the modems that used to put the phone inside the modem.
Well, no, actually.
I also want to talk, before you go on that, I want to actually, before you go on, we only have like 3.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes, is that I want you to talk about, speaking of security and safety and anonymity and protection for yourself, is that this notion that these bulletin boards and people are actually going back to these phone systems in order to have secure internet access.
Yeah, the bulletin board system is like a place where people can leave messages and stuff that's very basic, and you see a lot of these springing up. I saw a story on this a couple of weeks ago. And it makes sense, given the need to reestablish the underground, the internet underground, so that people can communicate outside of government channels that are highly corrupted. You know, unfortunately, governments are corrupt because they support a banking system that runs on fiat currencies and fractional reserve banking. I mean, that's just it's just the nature of corruption. If you're not on a gold standard, you're corrupt. And you build up many, many layers of corruption and crony capitalism, and you see it all over the world. And now it's hit peak credit in 2007. It's now collapsing, and we're entering a new era, which is kind of an exciting era. But yeah, the phone freakers, if I remember correctly, you could get a little whistle out of a Cracker Jack box, and it was used, if you blow that into a phone, it actually simulates the tones that would give you access to free long-distance code. And long-distance, you were able to get to give yourself a free long-distance account by blowing this whistle into the receiver, because it mimicked the exact tone of what was required to open up that file, something along those lines. And this was one of the first major hacking stories, and many of today's computer titans got their start doing this particular hack. It must have been 30 years ago now.
Huh. I have never heard of that. We'll be right back after this music break.
That's right, we're back.
Oh, goody. That's stupendous. So we've got a few minutes left on the show here at RDU, Christchurch, New Zealand, Truth About Markets, Max and Stacy. And who do we have this week on our TV shows?
Stacey. Well, tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode of the Kaiser Report for Russia Today, we have Ulrich Feichner, who is a Der Spiegel journalist who's been to Iraq and Afghanistan several times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he fills us in on particularly Afghanistan because, you know, the decision is going to be made in the next few days, apparently, about what the U.S. is going to do, send more troops, whether they're going to send 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. You know, the Republican Party feels like we need 40,000 more troops in order to, now it's in order to combat corruption. America's at war with two nouns now, terrorism and corruption.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what's your guess? What's he going to say, you think?
What is Obama going to say?
What's the number he's going to come up with?
Well, my instinct is he probably just wants to send 10,000, and it's kind of just, just to make people happy, but, because it's unwinnable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon he'll probably send, closer to 40,000. It might only be 20 or 30,000, but, even if he sends 39,000, however, the Republicans will go crazy. You're going to hear stories all this week about how we're surrender monkeys. We're afraid of people. We look weak. Blah blah blah.
Right. So if he sends zero, he's soft on terror, or in this case, corruption. And if he sends 40,000, it's not going to be enough.
No. If he sends zero, he's soft on terrorism. If he sends 39,000, he's soft on terrorism. If he sends 40,000, then he's done okay, because that's what the Republicans are ordering him to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, and General Electric and the likes of these.
Right. And the Taliban is now basically running Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, I think it's something like 80% of most of the territories are no-go zones. And, you know, the British are retreating to just the major cities. And this seems to be a new policy. Is like, we'll abandon the countryside and we'll just secure the cities.
And I saw in mainstream media last week a story that the CIA was funding the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Well, the CIA finances a lot of people. They're funding Karzai's brother, who is the head of the heroin trade there.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government, I think, is paying off. Taliban. They're trying to pay off. I guess this was actually in the British army manual, the new army manual. They're saying that to give bags of gold to the Taliban, potential Taliban recruits.
Right. So Obama has to decide how many bags of gold to give the Taliban and how many soldiers to send over to kill members of the Taliban. That's his decision, basically.
Yeah, basically how he wants, does he want to end it fast or slow, the end of empire? Because, right. You know, all end of empires, so many of them at least, happen in Afghanistan. For some reason, it's like a mythical place. It's kind of where salmon go to, how they swim across oceans and swim all the way up these harrowing rivers, facing, you know, having to jump over waterfalls and dodge grizzly bears. You know, they go to lay their eggs in this one remote spot up on the top of a river and then die. Well, that's kind of...
This is where Americans go to spawn? Is Afghanistan?
No, this is where they go to die. They go to die.
And then they get keel over.
They don't spawn anything, though.
They lay the seed of a McDonald's and then they keel over.
They lay a
Big Mac. The chicken McNuggets are laid and then they keel over. A few Starbucks are laid and they keel over. Krispy Kreme donuts... keel over. A few Mickey Mouse droppings were played and they keeled over.
Something like that, yeah.
So, right, but they're not going to give them actual gold, even though that's the recommendation. They're going to give them dollars. We know it, I know it, everybody knows it. No one's going to give away gold at this point because the price is going too high. They're going to give them some more of those worthless dollars.
No. That was Gordon Brown who said give them bags of gold. So yes,
right.
he's going to give them. In fact, I'm thinking of donning a light blue burqa and going to Afghanistan and pretending that I would be a potential recruit for the Taliban unless they give me a bag of gold. Unless Gordon Brown gives me some of his gold that he just disposes of the British people's gold.
He loves to do that. How much did he give away back in back when gold was $250 an ounce? How much of the tons of Britain's gold did Gordon Brown give away then?
I believe it was 300 tons.
300. And that leaves them with less than 300 tons, one of the least owning of gold of any of the big countries, industrial countries. Now he wants to just give away more of Britain's gold to the Taliban, and so that while Barack Obama, his buddy, decides how many troops to send over to get blown up by the same Taliban. So Gordon Brown is funding, vis-a-vis a gold market, the destruction of U.S. troops by funding the Taliban while, Obama figures out the arbitrage between the fallen soldiers and the price of gold versus the dollar puts that he's got on his Goldman Sachs stock. Is that what I got going here? It's a out-of-the-money gold death put arbitrage butterfly spread?
Well, it's something. And, you know, by the way, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So this is...
Kiss an Indian.
Well, that, but also, you know, kiss a... this is a day where Americans gorge themselves. It's the beginning of the gross season when everybody eats too much and consumes too much. Whether or not they can do it is this year, because, you know, a lot of their credit cards... The credit card lines there are being cut.
Well, the price of the Thanksgiving meal this year is down from last year due to deflation.
This is what Ms. Shedlock says.
What Mike Shedlock says, and I believe him on this because he's always giving tips about how to buy good cuts of pork and beef at the butcher. He knows what the price is.
But I disagree with him on there because is he comparing apples and oranges? Because, you know, yeah, he talks about
cranberries and gravy.
No, he's comparing Americans, they eat turkey-like substance. You know, mm-hmm. It becomes less and less a real turkey, and they start stuffing all sorts of weird chemicals in them, and they blow them up within 2 days. It used to take 2 years for a turkey to grow, and now it's like down to 2 minutes. You know, they just, like, put them in water and they bloom or whatever. It's just, like, crazy Frankenfood.
You mean like those sea monsters that you used to get by from the back books, the pages of comic books? You put them in water and they blow up and become little sea creatures?
No, people eat food-like stuff there. That's why there's no actual real nutrients in them, which is why they continue. It's a perfect system because your body is still, like, you're still an animal. You're still a mammal. You still need nutrients. So your body craves more and more of this food-like stuff because it's looking for the nutrients. Yeah. So it's a perfect system. It's a perfect built-in obsolescence sort of system.
It's deflation because the actual price of nutrients keeps collapsing as you see. And then you got these butterball American types stuffing their face to become these behemoth 500-pound...
Okay. I think we have to end now.
Okay, well, we'll catch you next week. Bye, y'all.